The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents...
We love the earth.
Normal Show Live! Marijuana Nation! Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator... Belleville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes. It is Wednesday, February 16th, 2011, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us. We're glad to have you here. We got a great show coming up today on our Hemp Day Hump Day. Unfortunately, our friend Cannabis Carrie can't join us today. She's tied up with some other work projects, so when we get to the hemp headlines, I'll be bringing you the news. But we can welcome our friend here in the studio, running things on the technical side, Ganja John.
What's up, Russ?
Yay! We're glad. How you feeling, man? Feeling better?
I'm feeling a little bit better.
Yeah, yeah, we're all getting better here. Yeah. It's a good time here at Normal Show Live, and we are working to end marijuana prohibition for all adults, and we'll do it state by state, city by city if we have to. We're glad to have you here on the journey. Coming up on today's show, we've got some daily toker tunes for you, new reggae music from Grateful Dread Public Radio, a band called Illumination, and a song called Big Ol' Spliff. And then what you've all been waiting for here on Wednesday, every Wednesday, we visit with Dr. Mitch Earlywine, one of the most acclaimed researchers on marijuana science, culture, history, health. Anything you want to know, you can ask on our call-in line at 971-533-7111. We'll talk to Dr. Mitch at the bottom of the hour, or you can send your questions through chat. We'll pick them up there and ask Dr. Mitch. We'll be talking to him today about these reports that have been surfacing about a new analysis of data on men's sexual health functioning and cannabis use that, we'll let Dr. Mitch debunk it for you. And then at the end of the show, a radical rant. I'm taking on some of the idiots in marijuana law reform who are making it look bad for the rest of us. We head to Denver, Colorado for the latest with some videotape of what not to do in the state house. All that coming up on Normal Show Live today, including our news stories. We're going to take a look at President Obama's so-called commitment to science in the area of medical marijuana, some immigrations and customs agents killed in Mexico in an ambush, Maui cops against medical marijuana, Oakland's lawyer won't defend the pot grow, and Massachusetts with legalization. We're back right after this.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
In today's busy world, we're inundated by advertising for all types of pharmaceuticals that come with a laundry list of potential side effects. Shouldn't you have better medical choices? Natural alternatives to pills pushed by Big Pharma? At Alternative Medical Choices, you could choose natural, safe, and effective alternative therapies that are right for your budget without nasty side effects. Cannabis, or marijuana, has been a legal medicine in the Pacific Northwest since 1998. Our doctors will help determine your qualifications for a medical marijuana recommendation in Oregon, no matter where you live. Our massage therapists will ease your aches and stress with soothing hemp seed oil or cannabis-infused massage salves. We also offer acupuncture, Reiki, and other alternative health therapies. Call Alternative Medical Choices in Portland, Oregon at 503-288-5579 or visit our website at www.altmedchoices.com. We specialize in out-of-state recommendations. That's www.altmedchoices.com or call 503-288-5579.
High in the Rockies. For the first time ever, High Times is hosting the Medical Cannabis Cup in the Mile High City, Denver, Colorado. Come to the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup. There'll be cultivation seminars with High Times editors Danny Danko and Nico Escondido, plus other experts and cannabis celebrities. Attend activism seminars with leaders of the medical marijuana movement, including advice on how to start your own cannabis business. Meet industry leaders in medical cultivation, hydroponics, smokable glassware, hemp products, dispensary supply, cannabis accessories, and more. Plus, medical cannabis cups will be awarded to the best indica, sativas, concentrates, and edibles entered by legally operating medical marijuana dispensaries and growing collectives. And don't forget Saturday night when the Medical Cannabis Cup will host the extravaganza with surprise musical guests. The High Times Medical Cannabis Cup, April 2nd and 3rd, 2011 at Exto in Denver, Colorado. Visit MedCanCup.com for details. Be part of the growing cannabis industry. Come to the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup in Denver.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carry.
Cannabis Carry can't be with us today. I'm Radical Russ with your Normal News. Before we begin, we want to offer our thoughts out to our colleague John Doe, Tim Martin at John Doe Radio, who is Ganja John tells us he's in the hospital. Is that right? With some
He's having some kidney issues. He's got fluid around the kidneys. He's kind of a sickly dude, and I hope he feels better.
Yeah, we hope the best for you, Tim. We hope you're doing well, and we encourage all the supporters of Normal Show Live to also support John Doe Radio at John Doe Radio on Twitter or johndoeradio.com. We begin our news segment with a story from Paul Armentano, Normal's deputy director, that I felt deserved to be read over the air here. It's a post he has at Huffington Post entitled, "Change We Can Believe In, Not for Medical Marijuana Research." It was nearly 2 years ago that the Obama White House issued its scientific integrity memorandum stating, quote, "Science and the scientific process must inform and guide decisions of my administration," end quote. Those of us involved in marijuana law reform welcomed the memo, which came just months after the American Medical Association called for, quote, "facilitating clinical research and the development of cannabinoid-based medicines," end quote. And we hoped it would stimulate the commencement of long overdue human studies into the safety and efficacy of medical cannabis. Those hopes were snuffed, however, when a representative from the U.S. National Institutes on Drug Abuse, or NIDA, the agency that oversees 85% of the world's research on controlled substances, reaffirmed its long-standing no Medipot policy to the New York Times. NIDA said, quote, "As the National Institute on Drug Abuse, our focus is primarily on the negative consequences of marijuana use," end quote, a spokesperson told the paper in 2010. Quote, "We generally do not fund research focused on the potential beneficial medical effects of marijuana," end quote. A review of the U.S. National Institute of Health website, clinicaltrials.gov, shows that NIDA's kibosh on medical marijuana trials continues unabated. Though an online search of ongoing FDA-approved clinical trials using the keyword cannabinoids, the active components in marijuana, yielded 65 worldwide hits, only six involved subjects' use of actual cannabis. The others involved the use of synthetic cannabinoid agonists like dronabinol or nabilone, the commercially marketed marijuana extract Sativex, or the cannabinoid receptor blocking agent rimonabant. Of the six, two of the studies have already been completed, opioid and cannabinoid pharmacokinetic interactions and vaporization as a smokeless cannabis delivery system, both of which were spearheaded by researchers, primarily Dr. Donald Abrams, at the University of California at San Francisco. The four remaining studies are still in the recruitment phase. Of these, only two pertain to the potential medical use of cannabis. Cannabis for spasticity of multiple sclerosis, which is taking place at the University of California at Davis and is likely the final clinical trial associated with the soon-to-be-defunct and defunded California Center for Medical Cannabis Research. And the study Cannabis for Inflammatory Bowel Disease, led by researchers at Meir Medical Center in Israel. Of the remaining studies, one focuses on the detection of cannabinoids and their metabolites on drug screens, while the others, entitled Effects of Smoked Marijuana on Risk-Taking and Decision-Making Tasks, seeks to establish pot-related harms, hypothesizing that subjects, quote, "demonstrate poorer decision-making abilities and increased risk-taking behaviors," end quote, after smoking marijuana. So much for the AMA's demand for clinical cannabis research. By contrast, preclinical or animal trials assessing the therapeutic efficacy of cannabinoids are occurring at a record pace. A keyword search on the search engine PubMed using the term cannabinoids yielded over 1,300 published papers in 2008, 1,700 papers in 2009, and another 1,200 published last year. While many of these studies highlight the ability of cannabinoids to manage a wide range of symptoms, even more intriguing are the results indicating the potential of cannabinoid intervention to halt the development of serious diseases, such as cancer, diabetes, Lou Gehrig's disease, and multiple sclerosis. Nevertheless, without abrupt changes at the highest levels of government, changes that do not appear to be forthcoming, despite this administration's public demand for scientific integrity, scientists will indefinitely lack the human follow-up data necessary to adequately answer societal questions regarding cannabis safety, efficacy, and proper dosage. Change we can believe in? Not when it comes to studying pot. This story comes to us from Borderland Beat. The Mexican drug war continues, and increasingly Americans are being targeted by the ruthless and highly trained gangs. Now, two ICE officers, that's Immigrations and Customs Enforcement, agents were ambushed and shot in a drug gang roadblock between Monterrey and Mexico City. The agents were driving a black SUV with diplomatic plates. After their vehicle was stopped with the road in front of them and behind them blocked off, a tactic typically employed by professional assassins, several armed men dressed in black approached the agents' SUV. The men, according to the source, are presumed to be members of the Los Zetas, a paramilitary narco-trafficking organization that counts among its leadership former elite members of the Mexican military. As the armed men walked toward the ICE agent's SUV, they motioned the agent in the driver's seat to roll down his window, according to the source, recounting the initial reports from the scene. Quote, "He did a little, and that's when they opened fire," the source reports. "The windows on the SUV are dark, so it is my opinion that they wanted to make sure they had the right people," end quote. Now, why weren't these agents traveling with a military escort, as is customary for such a mission? New reports suggest that their stated mission was only a cover for Black Ops, an off-the-books secret intelligence mission. Additional law enforcement sources have weighed in on the story and contend that the two ICE agents were on what one described as an under-the-radar mission that involved transporting a box containing an unknown payload, though it is suspected that the box contained weapons. The two agents were expecting to meet up with another group of agents to exchange the box, the law enforcers contend. That same source described the box transfer operation as being very unusual and possibly part of some kind of black op, meaning it might have dovetailed with an intelligence operation. For example, the information now coming in, which is from several law enforcement sources, indicates the agents were not involved in any type of training operations, but rather that was a cover for their trip. In addition, in the latest version of events, the agents who were shot were driving north from Mexico City heading toward Monterrey when they were ambushed by the Zetas. A law enforcement source told Narco News originally that the two agents were heading south from Monterrey toward Mexico City. Also, both agents were, in fact, permanently assigned to the ICE attaché office in Mexico City and not on temporary assignment, as originally reported. Well, regardless of how this was reported or whether it was black ops or a regular operation, it just goes to show that these drug trafficking organizations are becoming increasingly brazen in their attacks, willing to go against presumably armed SUVs full of American agents. This violence is going to continue. It is going to escalate. It is going to cross the border until we do the sensible thing of legalizing the demand for marijuana we have here in the United States and let American farmers satisfy that demand. You probably heard the saying, "We don't make the laws, we just enforce them," from any cop ever. You know, if I had a dime for every time some cop said that, I could actually afford a dime bag. Yet time after time when legislatures come into session, like we have now in February, there are the cops in uniform testifying against medical marijuana and decriminalization or re-legalization of cannabis. But in this latest story from the Maui News, we find the cops have left the state house and are just going straight to the public to do their propagandization. After seeing more and more bills in the legislature intended to liberalize marijuana use, Maui Police Chief Gary Yabuta said the department is taking a more proactive stance to show the public its opposition to marijuana by reaching out to Maui residents in public places. On Monday, officers went to Walmart to pass out pamphlets on what experts say about marijuana as medicine and related health risks, a news release said. They will be there again today. Yabuda did not know the cost of the brochures that are being passed out, but said they were nothing fancy. Funding came partly from a grant that initiated the brochure, as well as county funds. It's nice to know that the taxpayers of Maui County are buying brochures to convince themselves that medical marijuana is bad. Let's see what the chief himself says about this. Chief Gary Yabuda said Monday, quote, "It's something that we feel is an important message for the public to know from what we believe is the reality of marijuana, that if we continue to have an attempt to lax the marijuana law, using it as a verb, we are going to be advocating the wrong message to the youth, that it's socially okay to use marijuana. We feel that it will be contradictory to character building, job skills, academics, all the skills necessary to become a productive citizen," end quote. Marijuana use. You mean like some 17-year-old kid named Barry who used to live in Hawaii, who used marijuana and cocaine with his friends? Whatever happened to that guy? Did he ever amount to anything? Oh, yeah, he became the president of the United States, I remember now. Seemed like his marijuana smoking in Maui didn't really harm him that badly. We continue with the story. The police department is also voicing its opposition to two Senate bills, one, SB 58, that would increase the amount of medical marijuana that one could possess, and the other, SB 175, that would transfer the jurisdiction of the medical marijuana laws from the Department of Public Safety to the Department of Health. Now, why would we want to have something called medical marijuana run by something called a Department of Health? Yeah, makes perfect sense, right? But in Chief Yabuda's mind, the medical marijuana should continue to be run by the Department of Public Safety, right? He can't get past the marijuana part and believe that it's actually medical and should be run by the Department of Health, you know, because they get so much great medical training in the police academies these days. We continue with the story. The police pamphlet quotes agencies such as the Food and Drug Administration saying that, quote, "smoked marijuana has no currently accepted or proven medical use in the United States and is not an approved medical treatment," end quote. It also says the American Medical Association discourages medical marijuana use and that cannabis is a dangerous drug and is a public health concern. Could that be the same American Medical Association that said, quote, "Short-term controlled trials indicate that smoked cannabis reduces neuropathic pain, improves appetite and caloric intake, especially in patients with reduced muscle mass, and may relieve spasticity and pain in patients with multiple sclerosis, and the Schedule 1 status of marijuana should be reviewed with the goal of facilitating clinical research and development of cannabinoid-based medicines and alternate delivery methods," end quote. Is that the same American Medical Association? Chief Yabuda, go back to enforcing the laws and not making them. The people know what's right about medical marijuana. They believe what they've seen with their own eyes from their own friends who've benefited from it, and the doctors who now are increasingly support it. Use taxpayer monies to solve real crime and not harass medical marijuana patients. And good news from the Bay State in Massachusetts. Massachusetts introduces the Cannabis Regulation and Taxation Act. This is from the Daily Collegian. Representative Ellen Story, Democrat of Amherst, introduced a bill to legalize, regulate, and tax marijuana to the current session of the Massachusetts General Court. Last November, 69% of the 3rd Hampshire District voted in favor of a public policy question instructing her to support such a measure. The bill, entitled the Cannabis Regulation and Taxation Act, was drafted by Richard M. Evans, an attorney from Northampton. The bill would legalize the possession, consumption, and sale of marijuana for people over 21 and establish a series of licenses requiring annual fees. A cultivation license would cost $500 per year and enable holders to possess, propagate, grow, and cultivate cannabis and carry on such other horticultural activities as are reasonably required for the commercial cultivation of cannabis. Growers, however, could only sell to the holder of a processing license. A processing license would cost $1,000 and would only allow licensees to obtain marijuana from a cultivator or an importer. Processors would have to make sure each cannabis package had proper tax stamps, warnings about a $5,000 fine for driving while under the influence of marijuana, and a label indicating each strain's tetrahydrocannabinol or THC levels. Evans, a former National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws board member, said he first wrote the bill in 1981, quote, "under the delusional view that what we needed was a plan," end quote. Well, this is good news that we get this bill introduced, the Cannabis Regulation and Taxation Act. I encourage everyone to visit normal.org and look up Massachusetts on our little drop-down for state laws. You can find out what we're trying to change. You can also get links to help support this by going to Normal's CapWiz Center. Look on the left-hand side of the page for Write Your Representatives. Click there, and you'll find every state that currently has a marijuana reform measure in their legislature. Find Massachusetts, click on that, and you'll find an easy form to fill out a pre-written letter to send to your legislature in support of legalization.
What do you think about a break?
I think it's time for a break, and when we come back, we will have Irie Wednesday music, Big Ol' Spliff by Illumination from Grateful Dread.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Hi, I'm Keith Straub, the founder of Normal. In all the years since 1970 that I've been fighting marijuana prohibition, I've learned that drug warriors love to confuse the public with statistics. Lately, they've claimed that there are more teens enrolled in drug treatment for marijuana than ever before. It's a statement that, while true, is intentionally misleading. What they don't tell you is that marijuana arrests have skyrocketed to over 800,000 arrests per year. They also don't tell you that we've gone from a few dozen drug courts in the 1990s to over 2,500 drug courts today. The kicker is that those drug courts sentence teens routinely to drug treatment for marijuana, whether they need drug treatment or not. So they arrest more people for pot, require them to enter drug treatment, then claim the higher treatment numbers justify more pot arrests. It's an absurd proposition, but no more absurd than banning a plant. Learn the facts about pot. Visit norml.org today.
Here we go. We got the top six answers are on the board. Name something that gets passed around. Chris.
A joint.
A joint.
This is Normal Show Live, where a joint is always the right answer.
Now, Chris, I don't know what 100 people you thought we were talking to at some nice little mall across good old America, but I'm pretty sure the people didn't tell the survey people, hey, an illegal drug. Let's turn around and see how many weed heads are out there with Chris. A joint!
It's time for your Daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our PodSafe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we get tunes for Irie Wednesday, our celebration of that mellow vibe we find in the best of reggae, ska, calypso, and Latin music. Brought to you by Grateful Dread Public Radio, Summit, New Jersey's progressive peace station at gdreadradio.net. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now, here's some great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
Hey now, friends. Grateful Dread here in the studios of Grateful Dread Public Radio, the grassroots voice of Summit, New Jersey. We're working hard, awaiting the spring, and wishing you a most Irie Wednesday. Our musical gift for you today is a rousing bit of Cali ska. Lumination is an unsigned dub rock quintet based in San Rafael, California. The band is a popular regional touring outfit that makes friends wherever it goes. So far, Lumination has opened for headlining performers in more than 1,000 theaters. The members have really earned their growing success. You can expect a full-length album from them really soon. In the meantime, one of their songs won a spot on Quickstar Productions' Ska for Life compilation series. You can find it on iTunes, This particular song is on Volume 5. Here's a taste of modern ska from Lumination. Big Ol' Spliff.
Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing media, and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
In terms of legalization of drugs, I think that the battle, the war on drugs has been a utter failure.
The war on drugs has been a utter failure. And I think that we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws, criminalize our marijuana laws. The war on drugs has been an utter failure. Criminalize our marijuana laws. The war on drugs has been an utter failure.
Criminalize our marijuana laws. The war on drugs has been an utter failure.
Normal Show Live, where we don't change our position on decriminalization in an election year. It's time for Normal Show Live's Cannabis Science with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York in Albany and the author of Understanding Marijuana. Now here's your dose of cannabis science.
All right, folks, half past the hour, time to go all the way out to Albany, New York, and speak with Dr. Mitch Earlywine in our cannabis science segment. How you doing, Dr. Mitch?
Having a great day.
Oh, glad to hear it. We actually got a little bit of snow here in Portland today.
Well, we've got a little bit, too.
I'll bet you do. Hey, before we get started, we always give you a chance at the beginning of the segment to let us know if there's any new reports or studies on cannabis that we need to know about.
There is a new study out of the Netherlands that makes big deal out of finding some genetic risk linked to heavy cannabis use and psychosis. But when you read between the lines, you realize what has happened is they have failed to replicate the previous example of genetic risk and cannabis use leading to psychosis, and found a different gene that may be the culprit. And what this makes me worry about is that, look, there's a million genes out there. If we run a million statistical tests, we're bound to find something by chance. Mm-hmm. And the fact that this hasn't replicated on the previous gene should have been in the news, but of course isn't. Instead, what I'm sure we're going to hear coverage about is that there's another kind of genetic risk that can lead to cannabis-induced psychosis. And I just want everyone to understand that if you flip a coin enough times, you're bound to get heads. And that's what I'm afraid is happening in this literature.
Okay. Well, there's another story that's out there, and I've seen, you know, dozens of news organizations trumpeting this same headline. Apparently, a new meta-analysis. And I'll just give you a couple of headlines here. One from Fox News that says, pot use may mellow out men's sexual function. The Times of India says marijuana use makes men impotent. So what's going on with this new meta-analysis, and is it anything our male listeners have to fear?
As it turns out, probably not. The meta-analysis unfortunately didn't do a great job of taking into account some of the more better-known contributors to erectile dysfunction. I don't know what else to say. And primarily cigarette smoking. I think that we will find that folks who vaporize may have an advantage in this domain, but that's clearly not a big issue. I'm going to take a closer look at it, and we could talk about it in more detail next week. But the bottom line is these effects are relatively small, and when you aggregate across a bunch of studies, you can make it look significant when it's really not that big a deal.
Yeah. You know, whenever I hear these, it seems to come up every couple of years or so to try to scare young men away from supporting marijuana reforms. Whenever marijuana reform gets popular in the news, this story seems to come back. And, you know, I always just go anecdotally to the fact that, you know, if marijuana use had any problem with sexual function, wouldn't the Rastafarians have died out? And why does Willie Nelson have seven kids? I mean, these are the questions I want to know, and I know our listeners want to know. So we're really interested in finding out what you find out on that new meta-analysis.
And why is ganja John horny all the time?
Well, there's that, too. Okay. So, and, you know, Dr. Mitch, I also wanted to ask you, you know, because we talked about this with respect to schizophrenia last week and the new meta-analysis that had come up on that. People hear this term meta-analysis, and to me, it always sounds like we took all the old studies, put them together, and came up with the same old result the bad old studies had. Is there any truth to that idea?
In fact, your summary really puts it in perspective, Russ. The problem with each of these is it just doesn't make up for the quirks and the flaws in the work that they're summarizing. So a lot of the confounds that I'd mentioned when we covered each of these individual studies still apply. In the case of the psychosis, When you start looking closely at the individual studies, when a few that are good at controlling for psychotic symptoms before cannabis use, for example, we find the effects often disappear. To summarize the whole bunch of them, some that did that and some that didn't, and say that now we have a real effect is just incredibly misleading. If we had done this, say, in the aspirin and heart attack literature, for example, we would have really lost out on a neat way to prevent second heart attack in people who use aspirin after first heart attack. But thank God we didn't. Unfortunately, this same problem seems to be rampant in this literature.
Yeah, you know, in information technology, we have a saying, garbage in, garbage out. Seems to apply in this situation.
Exactly.
All right, we have a caller calling in with a question for Dr. Mitch Earlywine, and from the 231 area code, what's your question for Dr. Mitch?
Hello, Russ. This is Mike from Michigan, and I have a question, and I really respect Dr. Mitch's opinion. I was told by a VA doctor that my cholesterol has been rising because I smoked marijuana for my back pain, and I was just wondering, is it maybe true that the marijuana does raise cholesterol, or is it marijuana causes the munchies and you eat everything in sight afterwards, which raises the cholesterol?
I'm afraid it's more that latter than the former. As it turns out, the impact of marijuana on lipids is controversial and incredibly understudied, but the impact of a great big bag of Cheetos followed by a scoop of peanut butter is well studied in this domain, and I'm afraid that may be the source of a lot of it. I'm on a cholesterol-lowering drug myself. I really have to watch what I eat, and what I recommend for folks who are fans of the plant is have some nice lean protein sources and some good low-fat treats around so that if you do get the munchies, you can turn to the things that are going to have the least impact on your blood lipids. Believe me, diet and exercise are the way to go long before you necessarily have to abstain completely.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, thanks for your question. We're taking more questions as well at our phone number, 971-533-7111. If you've got a question for Dr. Mitch, or you can put it up in our chat room, just put the question before it, the big word question, and we'll get this out for you. We have one that just popped up in the chat room, Dr. Mitch, we'd like to talk about, and it's one of our listeners says, are you familiar with the 420FL? And that'd be the 420 Football League. I was quite entertained by the creativity of the guys behind the 420 Football League. However, being a health-conscious toker, what are your thoughts on it? And basically, for people that don't know, 420 Football League is a, you know, much like they have drinking games with alcohol, you know, beer pong and so on, 420 Football League is a kind of a smoking game where people are taking big bong hits, and however many seconds they can hold the bong hit is how many yards their team gains. There's other rules, but basically it's a smoking game involving holding long, large hits. And Dr. Mitch, I think I know what you're going to say about that, but let's hear it.
It's going to come as no surprise to our regular listeners that I think this is just absolute stupidity. We've discussed before how holding hits doesn't actually make you higher any more than just holding your breath would. And I know a lot of folks are skeptical about that, but we've got compelling data from James Zagney's lab that goes back decades now. The clincher here is what you are doing is giving the nasty irritants inherent in the smoke the opportunity to deposit on your lungs by holding them, essentially by holding the smoke in, but not really making yourself any higher. I hate to sound like a killjoy old man, but when you post stuff like this on YouTube, you really hurt the cause. I have to go give a talk at a high school now and explain to people's mothers why cannabis should be legal, and they're going to be whipping this out at me saying, look, this is what kids do. We can't have this happen. And of course we can't have this happen. It's ridiculous. We're talking about responsible adult use, and this is really a bad, bad habit. If you want to play a game while you're using cannabis, play with the Wii.
Play with the Wii, okay.
Yeah, Russ and I actually played the Xbox Kinect yesterday after work while we, and you know, you're getting exercise, you're smoking cannabis, that's great. And I love Henry Hemp as much as the next guy, but to put 420 Football League under the guise of medical, you know, they say all the people who play have to have medical cards, is ridiculous.
Yeah, if you're going to be doing something silly like that, you know, call it for what it is, recreational fun, or, you know, not responsible use, but medical, that's really, that's hard to hard to abide by, for sure. All right, let's go to a question here. And this is a really thoughtful question from Big Doug Blacksmith. I like this. Since pain is the body's way of telling us that there's something wrong, is it possible that overuse of medical cannabis in masking that pain could do more harm than actually dealing with the injury itself?
That's a superb question. And in fact, when you think about it, what pain has evolved to do essentially is let us know it's time to intervene. Once you've gotten that message, subsequent pain is to remind you to keep from moving that area while it heals. I'm finding that most medical cannabis users for pain really understand this and want to be alleviated of that discomfort, but they don't turn to this as their sole treatment, and they certainly are doing things to make sure that they're not behaving in ways that is going to re-injure that same condition. That said, yeah, if you completely made yourself numb to a pain and then basically engage in the behavior that caused the injury again in the first place, yeah, you really are taunting further injury, and it's a terrible thing. Nevertheless, for folks with chronic pain who are taking all the necessary steps to intervene, sleeping right, eating right, making sure you get appropriate exercise and stretching, keeping your stress to a minimum, then cannabis can really make it so that you can still endure the day, be productive, and not be at risk for re-injury. And that's really the ideal intervention for any kind of pain.
Excellent. Excellent. I'm glad that question came up too, because sometimes I think that we in medical cannabis, we tout it as being the reliever of all things, and we ignore the fact that sometimes you have to treat things other than with the use of cannabis, and that just because cannabis is so wonderful doesn't mean that other medical therapies aren't still valid and that they should be looked at. So thank you so much for that.
Old Jack LaLanne used to say, if you've got a nail in your shoe and it's hurting your foot, you don't take an aspirin, you take out the nail.
There we go. Common sense. We're speaking with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Our phone number is 971-533-7111, and we're taking your questions in our chat room. So if you got any questions, put the word question in front of it so I can find it real easy as they're scrolling by. I had something off the science side here and more into ethics and government and what's going on here in the medical cannabis debate. There was a story we told about Representative Clell Bodler out of Iowa. He's a Iowa representative who went to California, lied about having a condition so he could get a medical marijuana card, so he could come back to the Iowa representatives and say, see, it's all a lie, it's all a lie. So they've brought him up on an ethics charge. A citizen filed a complaint, and just now we got news from Radio Iowa that the ethics charge was dismissed. It was a unanimous vote dismissing this ethics charge, saying they didn't have the jurisdiction to be able to take up this charge. So I'm wondering, Dr. Mitch, from your perspective, what are the ethics involved here as far as this legislator lying about getting medical cannabis to try to discredit medical cannabis?
Here's the deal, and I think any cannabis user knows this. If you lie and get high, you feel like shit. So, in fact, I wish he would have gotten some cannabis and then gotten high and had this incredibly horrible, paranoid, guilt-ridden experience that he deserves for doing that. The clincher here is that, in fact, like the Rastafarians say, the experience is going to become aversive if you're not living the right kind of life. Of course nobody should lie and go to a medical cannabis dispensary. Of course nobody should lie and go to their physician about anything. If I swallowed a pint of blood and went to the emergency room and threw it up, and then they started treating me for a bleeding ulcer, and then I said, ha ha, you guys, I fooled you, that would be ridiculous. I would have wasted their time, and I would have essentially feigned a symptom that I didn't really have. That's exactly what he's doing in the same case. He really wasted somebody's time here. Somebody who could have had a legitimate use for this cannabis, and now we're supposed to act like this is some chink in the armor of the way medical marijuana is dispensed. How else are physicians supposed to know if you have a condition unless you actually can tell them the symptom?
Yeah. It was reprehensible on the part of the representative, and it's the way I consider it perjury. I don't know why they wouldn't think they don't have the jurisdiction to take it up, but I just think they wanted to shuffle it under the rug and ignore it. We have a call, a Skype call coming in from our own Cannabis Cure UK, Greg out there in the UK. What's your question for Dr. Mitch?
Hello.
Yes, Greg, go ahead. You're on.
Hi, Mitch, Dr. Mitch, I wondered if you could help me. I got a phone call from my yoga teacher this week asking me not to return because she smelled pot. What is the? Is there a historical relationship between cannabis and yoga?
Good question.
In fact, when you look back to the Vedas, and I know all my Hindu friends are going to be sending me emails how mad they are, there is a link between cannabis and yoga. In fact, it goes back years and years, and the deity who's often associated with both, the god Shiva, in fact, allegedly discovered cannabis in that area and was also, an advocate of appropriate postures. There are a number of meditation folks who have pointed out that the goal of meditation is to go to the same place and that cannabis could be a sort of training wheels, if you will, on the path to reaching an enlightened state. However, we've got some real hardcore fanatics in the yoga movement now. It's funny, I think of yoga as this mellow experience when there's a sort of boot camp approach in a subset of folks who they don't want you to do anything but yoga all day long, and they want you to keep up with the class, and they want you to make sure you're really doing it, and don't sit on a bicycle. They just have kind of lost the spirit of the utility of yoga, and I'm sorry to see that has happened all the way in the UK. Here in the United States, I was a little less surprised.
Yeah, I mean, I saw, I got on the internet straight away and just started doing some research. And, like in Canada, they started having Ganja yoga classes. So sort of like the contrast was just epic to me. The other thing she said was she found it disturbing, which I found quite disturbing in myself, in itself, because there's quite often a bottle of wine on the side.
Mm. Yeah, it's interesting, that question. Thank you, Greg, for the question on that. And I want to let folks know, if you don't get your question in on today's show, the email address, if you want to send to Dr. Mitch, is 420research@gmail.com. And you can get the question back from Dr. Mitch that way. We may use it on a future show if you'd like. And before we go, we'll take one more question here. And it came from Doug, I believe, was asking about gallstones. He says, I have gallstones causing me back pain. Doctors want to give me Demerol injections in my back to deal with the pain. Is this a proper course of action, or is it a Band-Aid on a broken leg?
What's curious about gallstones is each one is so, geographic. They're all individual to the point where it's hard to generalize across the disorder. But a Demerol injection is serious business. And I feel like anything that's less likely to induce basically an addictive process, like cannabis, is going to be a better alternative. The opiates, we develop tolerance quickly, and the withdrawal is a genuine drag. It really does lead to dependence fast. With cannabis, that's just not the case. I completely understand that this approach, particularly given the limitations physicians have in pain treatment right now, but I would encourage proper sleep, keeping stress to an absolute minimum, paying attention to the way you actually hold your back while you're walking, while you're sitting, while you're sleeping, and then Demerol injections is genuinely an absolute last resort.
Yeah, I agree with that. My my wife suffers from migraine, and when we were living back in Idaho, before we were able to access medical cannabis to treat her migraine, Demerol was the only thing she could take to relieve the pain. She's allergic to most all the other opioid painkillers. And I'll tell you, folks, you get a shot of Demerol, don't make any other plans for a couple days, because you are out. I'm telling you, it's some heavy-duty stuff. So thanks for that advice, Dr. Mitch. We appreciate that. Dr. Mitch Earlywine joins us here every Wednesday on our Cannabis Science segment. You can send your questions to 420research@gmail.com or send them to us here at stash@normal.org. We'll get them in on next Wednesday's show. Dr. Mitch, thanks so much for all you do and for helping us here on Normal Show Live.
Looking forward to next week.
It's tough talking to kids about marijuana, especially if you might be a parent who dabbled a time or two in your youth. So to help you out, get your copy of Dr. Mitch Earlywine's latest book, A Parent's Guide to Marijuana. Dr. Earlywine is an associate professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and an expert on the studies concerning marijuana, its effect on health and society, and the methodology behind the statistics. He is a frequent guest here on our daily audio stash. Dr. Earlywine lays it all out without the propaganda and scare tactics that parents know won't work with teenagers. He presents a rational understanding of cannabis, what it is and what it isn't, and why kids shouldn't be using marijuana. You can order today through Amazon.com or check our links at our blog, stash.normal.org.
As High Times Senior Cultivation Editor, I'm often called into the field and asked to sample or even identify exotic strains of marijuana in their natural habitat. Now, for the first time, I've compiled more than 120 of my favorite strains into this single field guide designed to fit into your pocket as you travel the world in search of your favorite plant. From a friend's closet grow room to the wilds of Northern California, this single guide covers all of today's best-known strains, plus heirlooms and throwbacks, including High Times quality photos and information on each variety's genetic heritage and growing characteristics, plus my personal notes on aroma, flavor, and potency. So this is Danny Danko, author of the official High Times Field Guide to Marijuana Strains, wishing you good times and great ganja.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended Shaolin Temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Shirley, you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
Ah, yes, folks, it only takes one idiot, or how to derail the efforts of dozens by the actions of a few. It's one of the most frustrating parts of my job here as normal outreach coordinator is trying to recruit people to the cause of marijuana law reform. Not that it's difficult to find people that want marijuana to be legal or passionately believe in medical cannabis or truly believe sincerely in the spirituality of ganja. No, that's the easy part. The hard part is finding those who, shall we say, aren't so far overboard with that. Those who can maintain a civil tone, those who can form a cogent argument and understand the realities of politics and the world and the economy that we live in, that we aren't suddenly going to have magical happy ganja land in the span of one legislative session. That these are efforts that take serious coalition building by serious people, that take into account all of the stakeholders involved, that understand that those who oppose us aren't necessarily evil, they just have a different agenda and a different point of view. That is, mature, responsible adult cannabis consumers who can well represent normal and the message of marijuana law reform. So, it's incredibly frustrating sometimes because we know that the cannabis consumers out there, you and me, the 25 million of us that are using annually, the 15 million of us that are using monthly, even the 2.5 million of us that use cannabis every single day are regular, hardworking folks that raise families and pay taxes and don't commit crimes and don't get out of bounds with their political rhetoric and so forth. It gets very frustrating when you're trying to represent all those people who can't, for whatever reason, speak out at the state house. They might lose their job. They might lose their child custody, their licenses, whatever it may be, whatever reason they need to stay in the closet. It gets very frustrating when you're trying to represent those people. And there's dozens and scores of us that are doing so in normal chapters and other affiliated groups, things like SSDP and ASA and MPP, lots of groups out there that are doing hard work, LEAP, SAFER, and so on, that are representing well, that wear the uniform of politics to speak to mature, responsible adults. It's frustrating when our efforts are dashed by the actions, the unthinking actions of some people in the movement. And we've told this story time and time again. We've told it state after state. Recently, we've told the story of Jason Crist, the activist in Montana with the Montana Caregivers Network, who's traveling medical marijuana caravans and internet video Skype medical exams, and his antisocial behavior has the Big Sky State on the verge of the first repeal of positive statewide marijuana reform in the 40 years of the drug war, literally, of the 12 states that decriminalized through their legislatures, the 15 states that have legalized medical marijuana, none have gone back on that. Montana may be just a governor's veto away from keeping its medical marijuana program, and Jason Crist has a lot of the responsibility for making people look bad in Montana. A couple of years ago, we told you the story of Dominic Vita in Connecticut, and one of my personal embarrassments, who was a vice president of Normal Connecticut, who sent a threat threatening email, threatening to go postal on a lawmaker in Connecticut the day before a decriminalization bill was going to be voted on. That bill didn't make it. And to add insult to injury, Mr. Vito, when he was photographed for his mugshot, was wearing a brown T-shirt that said, "Well hung," across it. Made us look really, really good. So adding to this list of people who are on my list of the idiots who are derailing the efforts of those of us who are trying to be responsible about this, I'm going to add Miguel Lopez from Colorado to this list. Now, what we've got for you is some videotape. It's rare that we actually get this stuff on videotape, but we've got a Colorado representative named Jerry Sonnenberg. He's a Republican who is offering an amendment. He was sponsoring an amendment to this bill going through the legislature there in Colorado. It's HB 1043. Now, regardless what you might think about 1043 out there, good or bad, he was trying to do something good to it. He was trying to take out a provision in the bill that would require the videotaping of all medical marijuana patients as they purchase their cannabis at a dispensary. Like, literally, the patient would have to face a camera, hold up their medical marijuana card, and get videotaped, and keep that video stored in a database, which nobody can guarantee wouldn't be accessible by federal authorities. So he was trying to do something good. Take that out of the bill. And Miguel Lopez and some other activists confronted him while he was having a conversation with some other people involved, some other stakeholders involved in this bill. He's trying to have a conversation in the open in the rotunda there when he is asked to stop videotaping. To stop videotaping what is going on. So the video shows Sonnenberg on the night of the committee hearing bringing the bill increased regulations, asking a man who calls himself Cap'n Cannabis. Yeah, the guy who's videotaping is called Cap'n Cannabis. What, were Frankenborg and Count Dankula there too? I mean, look, I may not be the guy to say it, right? Radical Russ. I might not be the guy to say it, but on the radio, it's Radical Russ. In the State House, it's Russ Belville. But on the other hand, let's continue. This man's Cap'n Cannabis. They asked him to stop videotaping a discussion between Sonnenberg and a number of regulatory and law enforcement employees about his amendment. After the man refuses to stop videotaping, Sonnenberg moves to go away to his office. Later, reacting to Sonnenberg's desire to hold the meeting away from the camera, brought Sonnenberg back into the public space. Reactions to Sonnenberg's move to go into a closed-door meeting included statements made by Miguel Lopez, who shouted, quote, "Secret police! Secret police! No transparency in government here!" And I'm going to show you the video because this video has now been released that actually shows the incident in question. You can be the judge for yourself. We'll cue this ahead because it takes a little bit in here. It's about an error occurred. Lovely. Just when I'm going to videotape, they probably removed the video or something here just as I was going to it. Okay, not going to load. Well, we'll just continue talking about this because we got the write-up from the Colorado Independent. So, yeah, Lopez screams out, "Secret police! Secret police!" And then after that, after Sonnenberg goes back into the committee hearing room, and lobbyist comes out. I forget the lady's name, but the lobbyist comes out, who was the lobbyist for this bill, complaining that they messed up by yelling at this guy. And what had happened is Sonnenberg came out and ripped up. Oh, here we go. It's coming up. We'll get this video up here for you just as soon as I can. Got a few things to adjust here on the there we go. Small video. Sorry for the on-the-fly adjustments, folks. We'll get this set up for you. He was having some technical difficulties with playback. These are the legislators that are meeting, and this is the videotape that is being taped by the so-called Cap'n Cannabis. There's Representative Sonnenberg. You see him in the white shirt and the tie. Let's see if I can fast forward to here to where the incident starts.
Not sure.
Would you please not record me while I try and negotiate?
I'm sorry, I don't even know who you are. Who are you?
The Jerry Sonnenberg and I sit on that committee up there, and I'm trying to find some solutions.
You're in the middle of the Capitol building. You can't ask me to not film you.
I won't ask you the public information.
Exactly.
I was just kindly asking you. Let's go to my private office.
Secret, who are you negotiating
secret
with?
Secret police. No transparency in government here, huh?
Start lining up.
I'm trying to help you so they don't videotape.
They're going to do it anyway.
You think I'm deaf to my amendment?
If you can pass it.
That's right.
That's right. Continue to be the Governor Wallace's of our time.
For filming you?
calling the representative secret police like the Nazis, really like the Stasi official? In East Germany, calling him the Governor Wallace, referring back to standing in the courthouse doors preventing ending of segregation. And you don't expect the guy to get mad? Let's just continue here for a little bit. Oh, we're going to go out here. Go ahead and let it go out there, John. That's fine. You see the lobbyist here.
What is he doing?
Thank you. We had a really friendly amendment coming. I'm glad you guys were so rude to him.
You know what? I have the camera if you'd like to see what he did. If you'd like to see what happened.
All right, we'll continue more of this video in hour two of Toker Talk Radio. Thanks for joining us for Normal Show Live. Ganja John, Cannabis Carry, I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, Tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Dang it all one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it.